Again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of papanewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our special co-host, Professor Charles Porterfield of professorporterfield.com in Denton, Texas, and John St. Germain of johnstgermain.com in Knoxville, Tennessee. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Aura LaForest of auralaforest.com in Quebec, Canada, bringing us today's topic on her new book, Women's Work. Afterwards, they will take your call and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work, as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment. First, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Professor Porterfield and John St. Germain. Professor?
Thank you, Papa Newt. I want to say that I appreciate you being here. I want to tell everyone that Papa Newt today is manning the board for us. So we're so happy to have him with us. Miss Cat is not with us today. She and our own chief engineer here at the LMC Radio Network, Troll Talhead, are out doing the wonderful, wonderful model train stuff that they do every year at this time of year. They have belonged to a club of model railroaders in their part of Northern California. And one Sunday out of every month, they get to go and they get to have a wonderful meeting and visit layouts and see other people's model railroading. Sometimes folks come there and visit the railroad at Lucky Mojo. And I'm sure we're going to hear wonderful stories about it next week. Also, Conjure Man Ali is not with us today. He is traveling, and we just want to send a shout out to our good friend Conjure Man Ali. Hope he is safe and sound in his travels and comes back to us soon. So instead, they've brought in the B team, as it were, of myself and John St. Germain. And before we go and say a few words with our good friend John St. Germain, I just want to tell you a bit about what's going on here. Well, we are currently in the last sprint, ladies and gentlemen, moving towards first the apprenticeship weekend, and the week, I should say, and the apprenticeship week is going to be there at Lucky Mojo May 8th through the 12th. And if you have set up, I look forward to seeing you there. I'm going to be out there while all the apprentices are out there. Some people are going to be finishing up their apprenticeship and receiving their wonderful certificates, and we wish them well, and we wish well to all the people starting the apprenticeship probably or perhaps for the last time. And then, if that wasn't enough, Saturday 13th and 14th, we're going to be spinning into the 10th annual Hoodoo Heritage Festival. This is the 2017 Hoodoo Heritage Festival. There on the 13th and 14th, live on the grounds of Lucky Mojo. We're going to have the tent up. We're going to have just dozens of wonderful readers, presenters. We're going to have a presenter's banquet Saturday night. We're going to have beautiful opening ceremonies on Saturday from Storm Fairy Wolf and on Sunday from Candelo Cambisa. And tickets are still on sale. So don't say to yourself, it's too late, I can't get a ticket. You can get a ticket. You can still get a ticket. You can even get a ticket at the gate on Saturday morning, if you drive up and come up and you walk up the driveway and go, well, can I still get in? We'll sell you a ticket right at the gate. And you can come and join us for a full weekend. You can get both days, and you will receive a wonderful goodie bag that goes to everyone who comes to the festival every year. And this goodie bag has in it powders, oils, incenses, all sorts of different things, flyers for all of our workshop, and four books. And one of those books, ladies and gentlemen, is a fantastic book written by our own Aura LaForest from AIR. And this is Women's Work. And this is about basically the magic that women did in hoodoo and conjure. And in just a minute, we're going to have her here live to talk to us about this wonderful book. But before we do that, let's check in with our friend John St. Germain. John, how are you?
Hello, Professor. I hope that everyone is just fine. I've been doing well. I've been very busy. You know, we bought this ancient haunted mansion, and we've been having contractors out here quite a bit. We, as you may know, we live in the Whittle Springs area, and the reason it's called Whittle Springs is also Mineral Springs area. We have these underground mineral springs, and one of those erupted into our basement, and so we have a very wet basement. And we decided what we wanted to do with that. Could we plug this eruption, or could we use this eruption? Because these are mineral waters, right? So right now we're deciding what we want to do with that. And it occurred to me that we could actually make use of this mineral water. So there used to be a well out here, and I actually found where the well was blocked out. So we're thinking that instead of trying to block this gift, as it were, we may try to reopen that well. And
that's
some consultants. Yeah, because, you know, the owner of this house was D.H. Whittle, who actually founded this entire area, and he made his fortune bottling mineral water and selling it as basically a nostrum that was, we found literature, in fact, where he was fined $30 by what was the early form of the FDA back in the turn of the century for claiming this mineral water would cure everything from kidney disease to diarrhea, diabetes, female hysteria, brain ailment, depression, and everything else. And so some chemists analyzed it, said there's nothing in this mineral water that would treat any of that. So they fined him $30, but he continued to bottle it and sell it as a elixir for health, and made quite a bit of money selling this Whittle's Springs water, and that's why the whole area is called Whittle Springs. So he made a lot of money developing this area, and so he lived in this house that I have. He was basically a snake oil salesman, but then he founded a lot of churches and became a deacon in all these churches. So really, this is kind of an appropriate house for me to live in. Not that I sell snake oil, but you know, I am a preacher and I do work in the healing area, I don't sell nostrums or anything, but, you know, hey, some people say that what we do is a nostrum, but what the heck. But, you know, he did turn the other cheek later in life and become a spiritual person, and did a lot of good in the community, it turned out. He opened churches and orphanages and all sorts of stuff. And I got to be careful what I say about him because his family still exists, you know, still around
right
here. But I would like to these mineral springs are not currently doing anything. They're just basically every time it rains, it erupts into my basement. So I'm going to try to take advantage of that. But I'm very regretful that I can't make it to the Hoodoo Heritage Festival because we're doing a lot of work on the house right now, and I'm just now getting the chapel up and running again. And settling in with our granddaughter. We just got the guardianship of her, and we're settling down with that. There's just too many things going on right now, so we need to catch our breath and take care of this.
Well, we are going to miss you. We are going
I'm going to miss
and
you guys,
you
too.
And if you do open that well, I cannot wait to get a bottle of the Reverend John St. Germain's special mineral waters, folks. Keep your eyes
out.
The mineral
elixir that will cure everything.
Cure everything. Lumbago, scrofula, you name it.
I think scrofula was one of the conditions listed.
I would be surprised. Well, we
have shingles,
the whole nine yards. Well, we have a wonderful guest with us today. Aura LaForest is here to talk to us about her book. And I just want to thank her for coming and being with us. Aura, are you there?
I am here, and I have been savoring every word out of John's mouth. That is such an amazing story. That is, we all want our own mineral spring in the basement, or at least I want my mineral spring in the basement.
Well, you know, keep your eyes peeled. Soon you may be able to buy your mineral water fresh from the Saint Germain spring.
I want to reproduce the bottle that it came in, you know, the Whittle Springs Mineral Springs Company. I want to try, there are pictures of the bottle. I want to reproduce the bottle and, you know, bring it. Of course, I might have to clear that with his company, you know, with his family, but I don't know.
That would be lovely. Absolutely lovely. And they're in the scenic St. Germain basement. Well, today we're going to be talking, folks, about women's work. This is a brand new book that you will receive if you come to the 2017 Hoodoo Heritage Festival, which will be its premiere along with three other books. And then the Monday after the festival, it will be on available for regular sale through Lucky Mojo. And you can pre-order it right now. You can go out and pre-order it during the show, after the show, and have your copy ready to be shipped to you bright and early Monday, May 15th. And then in about a week or two, depending on how Amazon does their business, because, you know, when we're dealing with Amazon, we're kind of on their time frame, it'll come up and be available also on Amazon, and you'll be able to get it from Lucky Mojo and Amazon. And before we get into this topic with you, Aura, I just wanted to say a little something. And I've said this a number of times on the Now You Know show, which I host here on the LMC Radio Network every week. And I have said this before, so here it is again. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. When it comes to hoodoo, conjure, whatever you want to call it, that stuff, I'm here to tell you that this is essentially on the ground as it operates, not in a systematic way, not in a hierarchical way, but in an operative way. This is a matriarchal discipline. We have more female workers and more female clients and more women who are interested in learning about hoodoo and conjure, passing on that tradition to generations, gathering that information about the tradition from their relatives than we do men. Now, I am in no way suggesting that there have not been and are not wonderful male root workers, conjure workers, hoodooists, etc. I and John are both two of them right there. But pound for pound, on the ground, you're going to find more women involved in this. And Aura, you have brought us this wonderful book that addresses all these issues. Could you tell us a little bit about the book and what, you know, kind of why you said, hey, this is the book I want to write?
The book actually happened pretty organically. It happened during the year that I was pregnant with my son. And on maternity leave as well, because being in the construction industry, they don't necessarily want you on a site when you're gestating, which is a good thing because it's not particularly healthy for the baby either. And it also came as a result of working with numerous clients and looking at a lot of the concerns that would come up again and again and again. So it's about women's work, yes. It's about weaving conjure into your daily life, making it a part of the fabric of what you do when you get up in the morning, when you wash your clothes, all of the activities that keep a household running. Whether you're a man or a woman, you are going to have to cook food. You're going to have to wash your clothes. You're going to have to make your bed. You're going to have to clean your house. You're going to have to clean yourself. And these are all activities that are intrinsically woven into the work. So it's about using those simple techniques – and then how to apply them to everyday situations. What it covers is various different stages of a woman's life and issues that you're likely to encounter. I'm not saying you're going to encounter all of them, but you may encounter a few of them along the way. And how do you approach those to get through those issues using conjure? It can be resolving guilt. It can be mental distress, mental illness. It can be a self-empowerment. It can be financial stability. It can be how to cook with conjure to keep things running smoothly in the house. How do you protect your home using conjure to keep it safe and to keep it a place where you want to come in? Those are all issues that are addressed in the book. So it kind of follows a woman through the various different stages and the issues that are likely to pop up at those different stages. I really have to send a shout out to Miss Kat here, because with a number of those sections, I don't necessarily have experience. So in the section on grandmothers, in the section on widows, she really helped bring that information together, and she's an amazing, anybody who's ever worked with her as an editor, she's brilliant in helping structure things in a manner that's accessible for everyone, and she's really done a brilliant job bringing that initial seed idea into the fruit that you see in the book when you're going to have your hands on it, when you're going to open it and start reading those pages. So that's kind of the development behind it. This is how the book grew and developed. And I look at the finished piece and it's almost a little bit unbelievable to see it actually happening, because it really is the fruit of a number of different clients. It's the fruit of all of the teachers that I have ever had. And like I say in the dedication, I consider myself very privileged to be able to write about it. And I do it in all humbleness because it is not my practice. I'm a visitor. I learnt from other people. I am not Black. I am not African American, but I consider it one of the most beautiful practices that I have come across, because it really deals with the little things that make everyday life. It's very, very much connected to the mundane activities that keep us running as people, that keep us stable as people, and that make up our daily lives. So that's kind of the background behind it. Do you have any specific questions that you would like more information on? Are there any other aspects that you want to know?
Well, you know, I think one of the things that fascinates me about this is that where I come from, out in the country and here in the South, and as far back as, you know, our history goes here, it is often the matriarch that holds a family together. And John, I know you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about here.
Right. Yes. Yes.
We have this thing, you know, about when listen, if you want to see a Southern family go nuts, all you got to do is show up when Big Mama dies. Okay. When the grand matriarch dies, it's just everybody suddenly it goes out they damn minds. Okay. And every argument that's gone on for decades comes back. Oh, well, you stole my marbles, and you mama this, and mama that, and mama, 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 mama. Mama holds our families together, whether that is mama and, or grandmama, great-grandma.
And grandma's recipe. Grandma's recipe. You don't touch it.
That's right. And grandma's recipe, whether it's for food or whether it's a cure-all, whether it's medicine or whether it's spiritual work. And I think what, you know, we need to remember here is that as Aura says, you know, to some extent we're visitors. And this truism goes back deeply into the African American community as far back as, you know, the abhorrent period of time of slavery. The people were kidnapped, they were thrown into chains, they were taken across the ocean, a lot didn't survive, and then suddenly they're in a new place, new languages, new plants, new animals, new weather conditions, everything. And often what we see is that it was the women who helped hold people together. And we see a number of pieces of this in root work. How to keep your family from being broken up, because obviously the slave owners would break up families. How to bring someone back or assure that they could find their way back if they were sold, if they were taken away to some other place. How people could still meet if they were in nearby locations in the evening. And this then grew. And we see this in the great traditions of family reunions. I don't know how many people listening to this are from the South, but we love family reunions in the South, man. And if you've got 40 people in the house, everybody, kids running around, and of course, Big Mama is the one who's always cooking everything. Okay, and swatting everybody with a spoon because everybody has their favorite thing, like John said, Grandmama's recipe, right? And everyone wants a taste. And so, to me, this book that you have brought to us is so very important because it speaks back to all of that. Obviously, men have had tremendous import in the lives of their families, their communities, etc. But so often in the past, when we had a more gender disparate situation, men were the ones that had to go out, right? They had to go out. They had to earn the bread for the family. And that has gotten overemphasized. Everybody talks about, it was so much trouble, right? Oh, man. Yeah, it was. But think about what mom is having to do back home.
What I'm going to bring up here is the women here who would be left while men would go out being lumberjacks in the wintertime.
Oh, yes.
And they would be chopping the wood, cooking the meals. They'd have 7 or 8 of them, if not 12 or 15 of them, running around at their skirt tails. They're doing the clothes. They're making sure everybody is washed and laundered. They're making sure the kids are out to school when there's school or out on the farm when there's farm. And generally educating and taking care of, running 4 full-time jobs because, you know, they're the cleaning lady, they're the cooking lady, they're the raising lady, they're also the drawing everybody together and solving the problems lady, so they're the mediator in the family, and they're also the lumberjack, the repairman, and, you know, alouette, as we'd say in French. So when a man is gone from the house in your older context, there's a whole lot of doing that still needs to be done. And there's one lady left to take care of that. And I think that all of those aspects are still required today. You know, we may talk about gender equality today, and I'm going to open a can of worms here, but overly often the relationships are not necessarily on an equal level. And often, in any partnership, one partner will get the longer end of the household taking care of stick. Not all the time, not by any means, but often there is one that has the onus of responsibility when it comes to the household, either by desire, by inclination, or out of habit. And this is the way to use that and make it something that you like, to own that and make it something you enjoy. I work in civil engineering. I'm very proud of working in a guy's field. And I'm the one who, you know, your mother wears construction boots. Yeah, I proudly wear my construction boots. But that being said, I'm also an avid knitter. I love cooking. A lot of my interests fall into the women's work. And what I have always adored about Conjure is that it celebrates that. And it also uses them as vehicles for change. If you look at quilting bees, knitting circles, these are places where there is a lot of social action happening, where you have women changing things, where you have large political talks going on, and it is being used more and more as a form of social protest. So this is a way to reclaim that aspect and celebrate it. And I think that that's very important to underline when you approach it and not to just gloss over it because of the title. And it's not also something just for women. Any man who reads this is probably going to learn quite a lot. either for his own personal practice or at the very least about the women around him. So
absolutely.
I encourage it both for men and women.
And let's be clear here. This book is not just about women in charge of the household. This is not just a household book. It certainly has a lot about that. But this also discusses, unless I'm wrong, and I don't believe I am, I was very lucky in that I got to proofread this wonderful book. This also talks about advice and work for younger women, about loving yourself, about nurturing self-love, about finding the right spouse, about creating and keeping alive a sexual spark, about doing conjure to find a spouse, to find a mate for marriage, about fertility work, to have children. So this covers, this isn't just, oh, okay, well, you're married and you've got kids and you've got a house, so you're going to need this. That's all there, right?
No,
I mean,
you're right. It runs the gamut. Yeah, it runs the gamut through all of the stages of your life, and it also talks about becoming financially stable and independent, and that's regardless of a spouse. This is for yourself. This is setting yourself up to have a rewarding and powerful life, a life that you enjoy, using conjure to forge ahead and to manifest what it is you want in your future, what it is you want in your life, and what it is you deserve as a person. Everybody deserves to be happy and deserves to have a home that they're comfortable in and to be comfortable within their own skin. And it gives you not necessarily the answer. I don't think there is one the answer to that question, but it offers you different avenues of exploration that can help you in your search along that way.
This book also, correct me if I'm wrong, this book also has several pages that discuss the traditional tools and methods that are used in conjure as a list near the front of the book. So you can come into this book, pick it up, and start immediately and go, oh, okay, here's the, you know, baths and floor washers, buy the Bible, candles, doll babies, honey and sugar spells, incense, jack balls. I mean, it's got it all listed in here. And this book is very guiding. One of the parts of this book that I enjoyed was near the front of this book, it has a before you start. And Aura asks a series of questions that you want to ask yourself as you come into this work, you know, things like what kind of work am I going to be doing? How complex is the situation that I need to address? How often does it reoccur? And then guides you into, you know, is work needed? Is spiritual work needed? And so that's the other thing I want to hit upon here. And I know John's going to have a lot to say about this because he and I come from somewhat similar backgrounds. It is not just the cooking, the cleaning, the child care, the keeping the house together, the, you know, feeding the chickens, I mean, the whole nine yards, that is a part of a woman's traditional role in a household in the time periods that we're talking and all the way stretching even as Aura has pointed for some of us into the now. Also what we see is that often the woman, the matriarch, not exclusively the matriarch, sometimes the aunts and the sisters and the daughters are often in charge of a spiritual component of the household.
Mm-hmm,
whether that
mm-hmm,
be,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, whether that be making sure that the kids say their prayers at night. You know, I'm Jewish, so on Shabbos, the women, it's the women that light the Shabbos candles and say the Shabbos prayers, and, you know, that we sing to and call them the queen of our households, you know, that her value is greater than pearls and rubies. And it's often mama who's, the you know, got that wash rag scrubbing everybody's face Sunday morning while everybody's going, I don't want to go to church. You know, you're going to church. You're going to church. I'm going to make sure you have a spiritual component in your life. And then sometimes late at night, it's mama who's the last person to pray to the Lord, and she's praying for spouse, children, neighbors, her friends, the situation in the world. It's mama who puts that candle in the window when children, as young adults, are taken off to war so that they'll come back. So really, in a very real way, although men obviously do spirituality, men have this tendency to, you know, they're out. Well, like John and me, right? We're out being sorcerers and whatever,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
It's my great grandmother did exactly that, and I know John. Tell us some about yours.
What about my my great grandmother?
Yeah, about the women in your family and their spiritual.
Oh gosh, well, you know, the women in the family are often the caretakers of the men's grief too, the grief that men cannot show the public, because at night, for instance, you know, men will tell their women the things they can't tell other men, right? The grief, the things that they hold in their heart, they'll tell their wives, their mothers, sometimes their sisters, the things that they can't share with other men. And the women are the ones that bear the family's grief. So this is another one of the spiritual roles. You know, a man's heart, he buries his grief in his heart. It's a stony ground. The heart of a man is a stony ground. He buries his grief in it. And if he doesn't share that, then it will kill a man. It will drive him crazy. So who does he share it with? He shares it with his woman at night, secretly. The things he can't tell other men. He's got to put the brave face. This is the way society is. You can't tell another man your grief. You can't cry, you know, in front of other men. But at night with your woman, your mother, you know, your mother, your woman, your wife, your sister even sometimes, they can become your confidant. This is why we have such a sick society, because that role of confidant, we don't have that in this narcissistic society we have. This is why people get on Facebook and post everything that they flit through their minds, you know, having a bad day, you know, my friends betray me, every emotion in their that flit through the head, they put it on Facebook because they don't have a confidant. And so in the family, the women, the spiritual role of the women, this is why we have the mythic tradition of the old wise woman, the crone, because they are the repository of the wisdom and the folklore of the family. They're the historians. And this is a very, you know, you're talking about the spirituality of the role. Well, the women in my family, my great-grandmother Brooks, she lived to be 103, I think, and when she was in her 90s, they tried to put her in a retirement home, and she broke prison. She hired an old man to put her furniture in her truck and took her back. She lived in Bull's Gap in the mountains, and she had this little cabin, and she had a vein of coal and a well, and she dug her own coal and chopped her own wood and drew her own water, and they just said, you know, leave her there, and she said she stayed there till the day she died. She didn't have electricity or running water. This is how she chose to live, and so the women in my family were rugged and individual. My mom was the same way. You cannot tell them what to do. They lived their own lives.
Oh, no.
And the men in my family did not rule the family. The women in my family
ran
the family.
And absolutely,
this is the way I was raised. The women were very independent. They were the matriarchs. And the men in my family, my grandmother, she was married four times, and she outlived all of her husbands. She wasn't a black widow. She used to say she wore them out. She said, I wore out four husbands. That's how the way she said it. And and you know, they were all mystics. You know, they were mystics and psychics and things. And my mother was an astrologer, and you know, she was married two times, and she outlived both of her husbands, and so it was. They were very strong women, and so
you know,
this gave me a taste for strong women. I never liked passive women.
I've always
liked independent.
That story matches pretty much, you know, my life experience and the experience of where I grew up, and I have to say that, you know, there are a lot of people down here in the South who say, oh, you don't want to meddle with the deacons in the church, right? Don't get the deacons
right.
mad. But I'm here to tell you, folks, I would rather tangle with any deacon, any day, any time, anywhere, than deal with the Sisterhood Prayer Circle. Okay?
I would rather deal with the devil than the women in my family. I'd rather deal with the devil himself than the women in my family.
Because the sisters, the sisterhood in the church and the prayer circles, they will pray on your ass. They will pray to get you healed. They will pray to get you a job. They will pray to humble you so you stop running around and doing whatever. But, Aura, could you tell us a little bit about the spiritual side of this? You've done such an excellent job talking about the life cycles and how we're coming along. Tell us a little bit about the spiritual work that you're bringing out onto the page for women who might not know about it, that they're going to be doing for their families, their children, themselves, their houses.
Well, there's a lot of different types of spiritual work. You have spiritual work that works with spices, that works with curios. So you'd have either spices that you would include in food or different ways to, even down to how you handle your purse, how are you going to hold that? So you've got actual big, kind of more elaborate altar-type spells where you'd be using, you know, candles, curios, oils, moving them over time. The way that, you know, a lot of people associate with magic. But you've also got probably one of the most extensive sections on menstrual blood that I have seen in any written tome up until now.
I have to interrupt you for a second and tell you that my wife and my mother will not set their purses on the ground on a bet. I mean, I have made the mistake in my life of putting my mama's purse on the floor, and I, you know, walked with a limp, you know, for the next day. I mean, absolutely, that issue about don't put your purse on the ground, and they mean it. They mean it. But yes, you're right. This does have one of the most extensive sections on menstrual blood.
And my husband, who actually read that section, went, you know, I already knew you were working on me, and knowing it in theory is one thing. Reading it on the page, I'm just a little more grossed out by it right now. So it can be very amusing, but it comes with that warning on behalf of my husband for all of the men out there. Hello, Mona. Sorry, this is my little son you're hearing there in the background.
As you can see,
the mother section does come from experience, and I would say that any woman out there, part of what makes us tough as nails, you ever passed a kid? Well, yeah.
There you go.
Enough said.
Enough said indeed. And it's not just, again, this book's not limited, folks. I got to tell you, there's stuff to do there. What if you don't have a menstrual cycle? There'll be information there for you as well. Thank you so much, Aura, and thank you, John. We're now going to turn this back over to our Papa Newt. And we're just waiting to hear Papa Newt.
Papa Newt?
Papa Newt? Are you?
My goodness, I am still getting used to this. All right. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your special co-hosts, Professor Porterfield and John St. Germain, and this week's special guest, Aura LaForest, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will be selecting callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. Our first caller is a first-time caller calling in from area code 601 in Mississippi. This is Miss Johnson. Miss Johnson, let me get you on here, hon. There we go. Miss Johnson, are you there?
I'm here. Yes.
Oh, Welcome to the show, and thank you for allowing us to look into your situation and help you out this evening. And now, I do look at here that you have not gone to any other readers and root workers, haven't had any private readings with Miss Kat or Conjurman Ali. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. And she writes, "My family and I have been facing many challenges and blockages, both financially and spiritually. What is going on?" Turning back to you, Professor.
Thank you, Papa Newt. Hello, Ms. Johnson. We're so happy to have you with us. Could I ask you a question for our readers before we go to them? What is your sign of the zodiac, ma'am?
A Libra.
You're a Libra. All right. And when you say your family is facing challenges, is this your family that's living with you in your home?
Well, some of them is and some of them not. I say my family because they're my five boys, including my husband. And I have a husband that's incarcerated, and I also have a son that's incarcerated. So when I say my family, they're not really with me, but they're my family.
All right, so this is your five sons and your husband. You have one son currently incarcerated, and your husband is incarcerated. All right, we're going to turn you over now to John St. Germain, and he's going to read for you. John?
Okay. First of all, can everyone hear me? We had an issue earlier. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, we can.
We can.
Okay, good. We had an issue earlier. I cut a few cards here in my Lenormand deck, and I want to tell you that what I think I'm seeing, Ms. Johnson, has this gone on? Did your father have really bad luck, too?
Not for sure. My dad died when I was 8 years old. I was close to him, but as of age eight, I lost him, so I don't know as a kid.
How did he die? Was it bad?
I'm not for sure. As a kid, I've always been trying to remember. I thought my grandma was sick because my grandma raised me, that he had caught pneumonia and he never did come home. He, got sick. So
it just seems like you weren't close with your father then.
I visited him every other week and I had visits, but again, I was 8 years old, so
This really confirms a lot of what I'm seeing in my reading. It seems like your father had a rivalry with another gentleman, and it may have been a love rivalry. For instance, he got your mom away from another man, and there was some basically what we call generational hex or throwing, and this was passed on to the generations, your sons. And there are a lot of people in this business that don't believe in things like hexing and things. But I believe this is a generational crossing or a generational hexing, and it's passed on from generations. And it may have gone even – I haven't done a deep enough reading, though, but it went past your father or past that, but I believe it was passed on from generation. But your family's crossed, and it may even go deeper than crossing into hexing. It's not cursed, though, because if it was cursing, you'd have a lot worse going on, but I think it's at least crossing. And so, what my reading is showing is that the male members of your family are crossed, or at least crossed or hexed, and so that's what I'm seeing. And so, when we get to the root work part, they'll tell you about things you can do to help this, and that's what I think is going on. And it's in your household; it's definitely in your family. This came up immediately as soon as I cut. Boom, boom, boom. We got. I can tell you the cards here. We got the gentleman, the man on the horse next to the fox, and the moon, and this indicates to me nighttime sorcery based between the man on the horse, who was the superior man on your ancestor, which was the it could be your father, even the generation before that. So that's what I'm thinking is happening there, but that's what I've got to say about it. So I'm done.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Thank you, John. And we're now going to turn this over to Aura and see if Aura can give us a little more insight into this, and see then after that, we're going to see what we can do to help you. Aura?
Well, when I take a look at the cards that I get on the reading, it's actually startlingly similar to what John is saying. In the past, I have the Queen of Cups reversed. So this is the woman that you'd been speaking about, John. But it also indicates a great sadness. There's a great amount of sadness there and a large amount of tears. This is a very watery card. And it's suffused with sorrow in the deck that I'm using. I use the Hurley and Horler deck. In the present, I have the King of Swords. He is right way around. This is a just man who is able to look at the situation and get you the information that you need to solve the solution, to cut it away. The sword that he has in his hands cuts away that past, cuts away that sorrowful woman, allowing you to begin again, new. In the future card, and this is, I like to be seeing this, it doesn't mean that it's a quick fix, it doesn't mean that it solves things overnight, but what we do have is the Ace of Wands. So this is a way to begin again, new. It is a vital flame, and it does show the possibility, with the proper advice, to cut through that generational affectation and to move forward again on new grounds with new energy. Because part of the problem is that this has been wearing for such a long time that the energy to even fight anymore just no longer seems to be there. There's a sense of being worn out that I see in that Queen of Cups reversed in the past position, a sense of bearing on, dragging on, that is can be cut through here with our King of Swords in the present, who, dare I say, is probably our Professor Porterfield. It's also a card of that I associate with the scales, with the Libra. So it does show that you're going to have to take an active step in this, and there are going to be actions that you need to take to get the ball rolling and to really cut it away. I would definitely be working with steel in some way, shape, or form, and there is an air component that needs to be addressed as well, based on what I'm seeing in the present reading. And in the future, it's going to allow that energy to begin returning again so that you not only have the desire to move forward, but the energy to do so. I'm going to hand it over to Professor Porterfield, who I believe has some advice for you on actually what to do now to get things working in the right direction for you. Professor Porterfield?
Thank you, Aura. Well, Ms. Johnson, I have to tell you that my spirit is showing me that you are troubled, you are feeling oppressed, you are feeling weighted down, and we need to try to help break these chains off of you so you then have the wherewithal and strength to aid your family, which is why you came to us. So, and I'm going to give you a fair amount of advice here. So later on, if you can't write it all down while I'm saying it, later on you might want to go back and listen to this show in the archives so you can get it all down just so. The first thing I would like you to start doing is I would like you for 9 days, all right? For 9 days, I would like you in the morning when you wake up, the very first thing you do when you wake up, before you do anything else, before you go to the bathroom, brush your teeth, comb your hair, do anything else, the very first thing I want you to do is I want you to recite aloud the 91st Psalm. I want you to pray the 91st Psalm, and I want you to pray it for yourself and for your husband and for your sons, in particular for your son who is incarcerated and your husband who is incarcerated. So I just want you to start that psalm. I want you to start by saying, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, I now pray for. And then you name everybody, and don't forget to name yourself. And then after you've done that, you can go ahead and get up and go about your day. At the end of your day, when everything else is done, you're about to go to bed, We're not going to go wrap up the leftovers. We're not going to watch Netflix. We're done. I want you to again pray the 91st Psalm, as I said before. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, I pray for. Please don't forget to name yourself. And you're going to do that for 9 days in a row. Now, why are we doing that? We're doing that because the 91st Psalm is the great psalm of protection. So we need to put some protection about you. We need to particularly put some protection about your son and husband who are incarcerated. And then we need protection around your other boys. And you can add in anybody else. Like, you know, if you have a sister or a brother or an aunt or anybody, uncle, anybody else that's having trouble, you can add that into that list of people you're praying that psalm for as well. Now, a lot of times, someone will say, you know, they'll be in the shower or taking a bath or getting ready for the day, and they'll go, oh, I forgot to do the psalm. Or they'll be so tired and worn out after the trials and troubles of the day, and you've got trials and troubles right now, they'll go right to sleep. Next morning, they'll go, oh, I forgot to do it last night. If that happens, let's say that happens on day 3, the next day will not be day 4. The next day will be day 1. You follow me? And you will do it until you can do it 9 days in a row. Now, what I was taught when I was young, and the older folks taught me this, I was taught that if that happens, don't feel like, oh, you know, the devil's on me, or we so cursed, or whatever. All that is that's God showing you that it needed more than 9 days. See, it might need 13 days, might need 18 days. I know one old gal, it took her 28 days before she could get 9 days in a row. It just means your troubles needed more prayer. So that's the first thing I want you to do. The next thing I would want you to do, based off of what John St. Germain and Aura have said to us, is I want you to go and seek out a professional. I think your matter is a little larger than, you know, just I can give you two or three little pieces of advice. It's all going to clear up. I think you're going to want to work with a professional. And in this, I think you're going to want to work with a man based on what Aura saw in her reading. So I want you to consider that, and you hunt around and find you somebody that you feel you can trust and that you can work well with. Now, next, from time to time, I would like you, when you're cleaning your house or your apartment or wherever you live, I want you to get some bay leaves. And these are the same bay leaves you're going to get out of the grocery store, okay? And I want you to take 3 of them, 3 bay leaves. I want you to name them each, one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. And I want you to burn those bay leaves on charcoal, okay? You just burn them, you get your little pot, and you just make a little fire in your little pot so that bay leaves will burn up so you can get the smoke from them. And I want you to smuffigate, I want you to fumigate your house with those bay leaves, because, you know, they used to crown with bay laurel. The victors would receive, and you see it sometimes, that wreath of bay laurels. And you need victory right now in your house, okay? You need victory in there. The next thing I want you to do is I want you to get you a white 7-day candle. Now, they're not 7 days anymore. They're only about 5 days because they whip a lot of air into them so they can get more money per candle. But you know what I mean, a glass-encased white vigil candle. And I want you to write on the outside of that candle. You can just take a Sharpie, a regular old Sharpie, or like a magic marker, and you can just write on the outside of that. I want you to write your husband's name, and I want you to write your son who is incarcerated. I want you to write his name. I want you to write their birthdays as well with their names. And then underneath, I want you to write, return home. Return home. And then you can just keep writing on that candle whatever your heartfelt prayer is, that they will be treated well, and that they will be safe while incarceration, that they will receive early clemency, that they will get the best deal they can get, and that they will come home safe. And I want you to dress that candle with a little olive oil that you have prayed the 23rd Psalm over. And then I want you to light that candle, and I want you to put that candle either in a windowsill or on a table near a window, and that window should be the nearest window you can find that faces a street. If you don't have a window that faces a street, that's all right, but try to find, you know, some folks have a window right next to the front door, right? I want you to set that up so that light can be seen, okay? And that's to try to bring them back safely to you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you spiritually clean your house, ma'am?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good. When you're finished spiritually cleaning your house, do you bar your doors, your outside doors, with anything, salt or anything like that?
I have been lately. I've been, you know, using sea salt.
All right, good, because you need to have that house clean, and you need to keep those doors barred. And what I want to remind you is when you work with that salt, if you want a little extra out of that salt, you want that salt to pep up and really get working, you hold it in your hand, you pray over it, and then you say, "Salt, hear me. Salt, obey me. Salt, protect me." But you can also, since if your sons are living with you, you can say, "Salt, hear us. Salt, obey us. Salt, protect us." Now, if your sons, I have two sons, they're grown men, children, and women of their own, and I can tell you, I know how young men can run around like fools, okay? And so when I do this, I say, "Salt, hear me. Salt, obey me. Salt, protect us." Because I want that salt to protect more than me, but I don't want it listening to anybody but me, okay? Because my sons get all sorts of crazy ideas in the head, and they go run out, come home with this, that, and the other thing, and I'm like, "No, you fools need to just let Pop take care of this, and Papa going to take care of this." So, do you spiritually bathe?
Yes.
Good. Have you done a coffee bath recently?
I haven't.
I would like you to do a good old-fashioned coffee bath because, again, what the other readers are showing and what my spirit is telling me, and obviously you called into us, right? So you know you have troubles, is that you're being pushed down. I don't think you're being pushed down by a particular force as much as just the rigors of this, all right? It goes on and on and on. You got five sons. I can barely keep sane with two. So, I mean, I know how hard it can be. So I want you to do a coffee bath to try to wake yourself up a little bit and get yourself moving. And then in terms of this longer situation, this curse or jinxing or oppression that may be going on with your family and as for your father or maybe even further back, I really feel that you're going to need to have the aid of a professional worker, and I want you to find one that you can trust. And I hope that that has been of aid to you. Please call us back. Let us know how it goes. May God bless you, your husband, and your sons in all your endeavors.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling in from area code 610 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This is Ocho Rios. Ocho Rios, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome to the show. I see this is your first time calling in, so welcome. You're welcome, hon. And I see you have not had any private readings with Miss Kat or Conjurman Ali, but I do see here you have had a private reading with the good professor on this situation?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. And just to clarify, this was last July was this session?
Yes, I believe so, June or July.
Okay. Thank you very much. And she writes, I have a workers' compensation claim against a large corporation. I was denied the first time, and my lawyer appealed in August 2015. According to the state law, the decision is supposed to come back in 6 to 8 months. The first frame has passed, and I am still waiting. This has put me in a dire financial situation. When will I hear the decision on my appeal? Will I win? And if not, why am I not prospering financially? Turning back to you, Professor.
Thank you, Papa Newt. Well, hello, my friend. It's so good to hear from you again. Because we're going to have Miss Aura read after me for you, can I ask you a few other details for her benefit? Because I remember you. Could I ask you what sign of the zodiac are you?
Leo.
You're a Leo. Okay. And could I also ask you, when was the last time you spoke to your lawyer, your representative, about this matter?
It's been quite a while because I understand that he left the firm, and so I got a new lawyer, but he had already filed the appeal, so I have not had a chance to speak to the new attorney because I think at this point, once it's been filed, you just have to wait for the decision.
All right. Well, let's take a look and see what we can see here, and we're going to do three cards. And you've had a reading with me, you know I read playing cards. The middlemost card we have here is the Two of Spades. And the Two of Spades is a duel, right? Just like in the old days, you always see in the old Western movie, you know, the two guys in the saloon. And, you know, one guy says, yeah, let's step out into the road, right? And what this is showing me is that the other side of this legal matter, they're not backing off, okay? They're not backing off at all. They're still locked into this. They're not yet prepared to just say, oh, air. Uh-oh, they had a little sound there. They're not ready to say, oh, just pay her. You know, it's better to just have it over with. Let's just get the hell out of this. They've still got their horns down and their feet locked, okay? So don't expect them to, you know, suddenly see this some other way than they have been seeing this so far. So now, that may sound a little upsetting, a little disappointing, except what I have here following that is the Two of Spades left-hand side, where we have what we talk about is within your inner life. Got a lot of noise on the line here, gang. Where we talk about what's in your heart and in your home and in your head, we have the Eight of Clubs. And this tells me right here that what's going on is that there's going to be some coming independence. You have also gotten more independence. You're starting to look at how to go about things. You're dealing in realistic plans right now. So I compliment you for that. This eight says that realistic plans will yield benefit. So we know that you're going to receive some benefit from all of this. Now, then to the right-hand side of the Two of Spades, and this is where we talk about the influence of matters in the outer world that are moving into the situation. We've got the Six of Diamonds, and the Six of Diamonds is streets paved with gold. So I do see that you're going to see some coming rewards. I think that you're going to see some positive movement on this. It also talks about money and opportunities. And so I think that this is going to start to work out for you. But that was not exactly your question. Now, was it? Your question was, when can I expect? Well, it looks to me like you're probably going to be able to hear something for this by June. There's going to be some small slowdown, okay, here between now and June. And in the period of time of the next 2 months, this next coming month, May, is going to have some difficulties. And it's ruled over by our two of spades. So there's going to be kind of a situation here where someone tries to put some pressure at you or your representative. And then in June, about mid-June, no earlier than the second week of June, you will start to hear positive news on this. This news will bring you a good benefit on this. However, this Eight of Clubs says that you need to be very careful to not do one thing. Do not count your chickens until they are hatched. Do not. The eights are all about the mind and planning and the intellect and dreams. Do not say to yourself, well, when I get this money, I'm going to do that. When I get this money, I'm going to do this, and hang your hopes on it. The eight talks about realistic, having a realistic mind about how we obtain our money. Okay? So you need to be very realistic about this. You need to keep your hatches battened down, all right? And don't start spending any money you don't have yet. Don't say, well, it's going to come and I'll be all right and then I'll be able to get the car repaired. Do your best to get the car repaired now, or get a little bit of it repaired now. Don't say, well, when it comes in, I'll be able to do this. Try to go forward with your plans, because when you are stable and you are grounded and you are intelligent, because this eight shows me that you are an intelligent woman, which I've known before because we've talked before, you're going to be able to have a fulfilling and profitable life. And then when this money does eventually come in, that's going to be a blessing. You see, that's going to be an extra. That's going to be, like we say down here, that's going to be gravy. Okay? And I'm a Southern boy. We love gravy on everything, okay? So get yourself organized, get yourself prepared. Do not be impatient. The two also warns about impatience. Don't draw before you see them start to flinch, you see? Because then they'll shoot faster. Stay by the wheel, keep your head down, keep your nose straight, and you will come through this with some profit, I expect, bound the second week of June. I hope that has been of some help to you, and I'm now going to turn it over to Aura, and we're going to see what she has to add to it. Aura.
Thank you, Professor Porterfield. I'm getting something quite similar, different cards, because I'm reading with a tarot deck rather than playing cards, but the theme is pretty much the same. We do have a face-off here, in this case between the Knight of Swords and between the Queen of Wands. You've got an advantage. The Queen has more life experience than the Knight does. The advantage the Knight has is he knows how to find your weak spot, and he knows how to find it quickly. He is cutting. He is incisive. And this is somebody who has very quick wit. It tells me they've got excellent lawyers. So you better have all your I's dotted, all your T's crossed, and a case that is waterproof. Because if there is a hole in it, they know how to find it. In the present, I have the Queen of Wands, who is a formidable opponent. I do have her reversed. So reversed, she tends to be a little bit bitter. And I tend to think that as a result of things dragging, you may be starting to feel a little bit of bitterness and have a tendency to want to lash out and get results very quickly. The legal system is not built around quick, and it is not built to help quick either. So Professor Porterfield's warning about patience here is primordial. The Queen of Wands, also has a great deal of energy. We were talking about energy in the last reading. Well, that is something you have a lot of. And she is also somebody who has a lot of cunning. She has a lot of life experience. And she is able to take a situation, analyze that situation, and make that situation work for her. In short, you know how to crunch those numbers. You know how to make it work. And you know how to build yourself a support network the way a queen should have around her. And you need to build that support network and that space around you to make that a place where you are comfortable no matter what the outcome is of what's going on. That's not an easy place to be. It definitely asks for more bravery. It asks for more strength. But both of those, this queen has. And this queen is sitting on a throne of two lions. So she's able to move forth. She's able to analyze and do so with strength, and that lion can roar. That lion can talk back. But they need to do it in a planned manner. In the future card, what we have is the star. So it is a good omen for things coming to fruition in a manner that is beneficial to you, where there is a successful conclusion and manifestation to what you want. The card has a measure of generosity. So, no, don't plan to spend that money until that money is actually in your hand. However, make a promise now. And that is to give a small portion of that money to others who also need it when it does come. If we're looking on time frame, the time frame on a three-card reading, I have found, tends to be in the 3 to 6 month range. So at the earliest, it would put it in June, as Professor Porterfield has stated. It could stretch it back to August. It does show a positive outcome, but the other thing I want to warn is that outcomes are never set in stone, and they vary depending on how we deal with the information that we've been dealt. So don't take that information as a way to justify expenditures that cannot be covered for at this point in time with your means. So again, a bit of an echoing of what Professor Porterfield is saying. You know, you don't sell the pelt until you actually kill the animal. And it's the same way in this particular case. But I can tell you that you are as formidable an enemy as they have lined up for you. So keep at it, keep going the way you're doing, and have faith in what is coming in the future. With that said, I'm going to pass it over to John St. Germain, who probably has some good root work advice for you on how to get things moving in the right direction and perhaps bring things about a little more quickly. John?
Thanks, Ara. Gosh, this is I deal with a lot of people who are dealing with your situation. And I want to tell you, I have some cards here. I have the mountain, which is never good, but I also have the lucky clover and I have the crossroads. And I want to tell you, the mountain means this is a very difficult negotiation. And the lucky clover, though, means that you are going to get paid off. The two-headed clover means that you're probably going to have two offers made and you should turn down the first one because they're going to lowball you, and then you should turn it down. It may be an attractive offer, but turn it down, and then the second one will be higher. The crossroads means that that would have indicated the two lawyers. I'm going to tell you, the first lawyer was not good. The second one is much better. And the lucky clover does indicate that. Now, I'm going to tell you that there are playing cards associated with the Lenormand deck. One of them is the six of diamonds with the lucky clover. And the six of diamonds does indicate a financial situation, and it's a very good one for you. So the six of diamonds in this case means that this is a trip for documents. So this is a successful outcome with documents. And the eight of clover, the eight of clubs, indicates a long negotiation. So don't be surprised that this is going on so long. And I'm going to tell you the root work I would suggest for this is that you get you a bag, a small bag, and you're going to make a it's not exactly a mojo bag, but it's going to be a lucky bag. And I'm going to give you something that's very strange about this, because what I'm going to tell you to make is something very similar to a gambling mojo. And that's because you're going to try to increase your luck in this, your payoff. And in this bag, get some alfalfa and some five-finger grass and also a small alligator. So try to get a small one and put it in that bag. And I'm going to ask you, the one thing that you're probably going to have to buy, well, the alligator's foot, you will, is to get you some oil that's called Three Jacks and a King. Because believe me, dealing with insurance companies, it is very much like a game of chance. And dress the bag once or twice a week with that Three Jacks and a King oil in a five-spot pattern, like the five spot on a die, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and pray over that bag to increase your chances of winning this. And it is like playing a game of chance. And I have found that with my clients, this is a lot better than doing anything else with an insurance settlement. I know that sounds very strange. This is an off-label use for that type of mojo, but when you're dealing with an insurance company, you are really, it's like dealing with a casino. It really is. It's a roll of the dice what kind of settlement you're going to get. And I think if you'll do this, this will really increase your chances of getting the right adjuster, the right series of events, and try it. I think you'll be very lucky with this.
Okay, thank you so much. May I ask a question, please?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay, I was, and thank you everyone for your reading. I really appreciate it. I was wondering if it would help the case if I got Lucky Mojo to light some candles, because I was about to do that. Maybe
yes.
A run of Blockbuster candles or
Road Opener, yeah.
I don't know, or
Blockbuster.
Which one would you think would be?
Road Opener, Blockbuster. You can do court case helps with things like that. Don't you guys think? I believe so.
I have a question for you, John. Now, she's going to make this bag up, and what's
mm-hmm.
she going to do? Is she going to carry this bag on her?
Yes, carry it.
All right.
And of course, you pray over it, too. You know, there are two types of prayers, I think, are essential when you're working a bag like this, a mojo bag or anything. There are two types of prayers. One, you pray to God to empower the spirit of the bag to give it power to work. And one is, of course, you pray to the bag itself, the spirit in the bag itself, to grant you your request. And I think this is important.
All right. Well, that's great advice. And yes, I agree with John that a run of candles is probably going to help you. You're going to want to have a Road Opener, Blockbuster, and court case. So that's probably what you could ask them to do, those three, for you to aid you in this. And please let us know how it goes. I in particular would like to know, because I talked to you last year about this. I'd like to know how it comes out. But thank you so much for calling in. We hope we've been of good help to you. You are listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, and now we're going to go to our own Papa Newt and a few words.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hooter Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Contraman Ollie, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Candela's Corner with Candela Convisa, Michael Carell, and Lady A, Mondays 5 to 7. The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6. In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7. On Sacred Ground with Kai Armand and Paige Sefiriu, Wednesdays 3 to 4:30. Fit and Foxy with Madame Nadia and Jaya Danya, Wednesdays 6 to 7. The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays 6 to 7. And Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All times Pacific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
thank you, Troll Towelhead, Chief Engineer of the LMC Radio Network, for bringing us those announcements each and every week. Now it's time for our free spell with Aura LaForest of AuraLaForest.com in Quebec, Canada. Take it away, Aura.
Thank you, Papa Newt. I'm going to give a recipe that I use to make my own laundry soap. Anybody who has friended me on Facebook is aware that I am an irreverent and incorrigible do-it-yourselfer. And I like the fact that making your own laundry soap is not only effective, it's also way less expensive than buying it. And you actually know what's in it. And it's very simple. It is a protective formula, just looking at the ingredients when you start. And you can even boost that by adding your own spiritual supplies to it. So the basic recipe is 2 cups of borax, 2 cups of baking soda, 2 cups of washing soda, 2 cups of grated laundry soap. That's your basic recipe, and you can do whatever you want with that. Baking soda, it's nice and calming. Washing soda, it's definitely cleansing. And borax, same thing. It's quite strong. You're going to be working with powders. Make sure you have your safety goggles and a dust mask on because the stuff is a little on the caustic side. It is made to clean and strip things away from your clothing, and both spiritually and physically. To spruce it up, I usually use about a half a tablespoon, that's a teaspoon and a half, of Chinese wash and of uncrossing oil. And I'll add a few drops of house blessing oil, just because I add a house blessing whenever I'm doing pretty much any type of cleaning. But if you want just something that's uncrossing, you can just use the Chinese wash or the uncrossing oil, and they've got a lovely scent to them. And you disperse that evenly throughout the blend. You store it in a sealed bucket away from moisture, and you use about 2 tablespoons of the powder per full load of laundry. It doesn't sound like much, but that's really all it takes. You can go up to 1/4 cup if you've got a very heavily soiled load. And I can tell you from having done washable diapers with the baby, it works even on dirty baby diapers. So it is all purpose and survives anything.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's
and it,
great.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I really like making my own personal supplies, from beauty supplies to cleaning supplies, just because you have quality control on the ingredients. You can buy in large quantities. It's not expensive. And, hey, you can fix everything when you make it.
That's
pretty
engineer
much
stuff.
In the house is
engineer background.
Yep.
Now, a little bird told me that this recipe, if you know, let's say you're listening to this in the archives or you didn't write it down fast enough or you weren't watching the chat room, I was told that there's someplace else you can find this recipe.
You will find it on page 63 of the Women's Workbook, which I encourage you all to get right away. I mean, it can be ordered as of right now and shipped to you the day that it is hot off the press to the comfort of your own home, or come down to the apprenticeship weekend and the Hoodoo apprenticeship week and then the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. And I will actually be talking all about the book. There is a 1-hour workshop which culminates in your very own copy of the book, which I would be more than happy to sign for each and every person who will be there that day.
Well, this is a wonderful recipe, and I have to tell you, I've known so many folks who make laundry detergent or soap for cleaning the floor, etc., in their own house this manner. My wife does. I had a grandmother who did. So this is not, you know, some newfangled thing here, folks. This is old style. This is traditional work. And I really enjoy that this has 2 levels to it. It has you can just do it like this and go on your way and wash your soap, or then you can come in, add a little Chinese wash or uncrossing oil, a little house blessing oil, etc., and do that as well. Now, I was going to say there are some other things that you might add to this as well. there are a number of other little things that you might add into this. You might add some powdered Queen Elizabeth root into mm-hmm. this if you're the woman doing the laundry, particularly if you're washing your husband or your spouse or your partner and yours bed clothes. You might add in a little orris root, a little powdered Queen Elizabeth root.
Knotweed.
I would highly suggest a tiny pinch of powdered rosemary in there.
Mm-hmm. You could add
any mom in the house, powdered rosemary is wonderful.
You could add a little pinch of some basil as well with your rosemary. So this is fascinating to me because I love, you know, when I was a kid, I was promised a modular future, right? In the future, everything was going to be modular, and they didn't pay off on that promise. But I love things that can be added to. I love things that here's a base, and then from this base, you can go this direction with it, or you can go that direction with it. This is just such an excellent.
Sure. Sure.
What things could you think of that could be added in here, John? Outside of knotweed.
Well, yeah, I think knotweed. You know, if your man, you know, had a roaming eye, throw a little knotweed in there. You know, magnolia leaf, stuff like that. Well, gosh, you know, you're having money troubles. You know, throw prosperity things in there, and some of it would smell really good. You know, you could put just a pinch of nutmeg or cinnamon, couldn't you, for prosperity. Five finger grass for spiritual blessings. You could put just a little bit of powdered frankincense, couldn't you? And I'm drawing a blank. I was thinking about it earlier. Hyssop. You put hyssop in there for cleansing.
Hyssop in there. A pinch of rue. Now,
yeah. Rue. Yeah.
This is basically undiluted, correct? I mean, this is like, you know, the potent base.
It's not street strength. This is the uncut, right?
This is the uncut.
I mean, that much borax and washing soda makes for something pretty strong. That's why it's 2 tablespoons for a full load of wash. I mean, it's pretty strong stuff, and that's why I say safety goggles, people. Dust mask, please save yourself. You are working with chemicals, and you need to be respectful of that, but it's definitely strong, strong stuff, and it does the job.
Well, that's
right.
A good
and
point,
so
too. Because people in root work, you know, quantity is not quality. You know, people will tell me, well, I put 4 pounds of Damiana in my honey jar. I said, you know, you only need a pinch. It's not, you know, you don't need that much. And Chinese wash. I'll say, I pour 3 bottles of Chinese wash in my water. I say, you know, you only need a little bit. You don't need that much. It's a quantity is not quality often in these things.
As Miss Cat says, dilute.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for bringing us that wonderful spell. And now, I hope everybody gets a lot of good out of it. And we're now going to go over to your friend and mine, Papa Newt, to wrap it all up for us. Papa Newt.
Thank you, Professor Porterfield and John St. Germain, for being our special co-host today. And thank you, Aura LaForest of AuraLaForest.com in Quebec, Canada, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers Root Workers will be Miss Aida of MissAida.com in Detroit, Michigan, discussing her new book, Cursing and Crossing, Hoodoo Spells to Torment, Jinx, or Take Revenge on Your Enemy. Once again, we come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Professor Porterfield at ProfessorPorterfield.com in Denton, Texas, and John St. Germain of JohnSt.Germain.com in Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from PapaNewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via LuckyMojo.com/RadioShow.com. LuckyMojoKRO.com. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Good night, everyone.
And make sure to get your tickets and join us at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. See you there.
That's right, folks. And I want to take a quick moment before I say goodnight to thank Papa Newt for being the man with the plan and manning our board tonight. We hope that Miss Cat and Troll and Conjure Man Ali have had a wonderful and safe day, and they will be back with you next week. So on behalf of the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, our own dear Aura LaForest, and the Reverend John St. Germain, I have been Professor Porterfield, wishing each of you a good night.